There was a time when many people followed God's plan for first century Christianity. That time was in the first century. As the years passed, the Bible predicted that there would be a falling away. There would be an apostasy. Part of the apostasy, as we look at church history, involved church leadership. The word bishop in the Bible is just another way of describing an elder. But as church history began to unfold, as far as Christianity is concerned, we find that men redefined the word bishop. A time came in church history when the word bishop no longer described an elder from a local congregation. The word bishop, as time progressed, eventually described an elevated office. And as this era went on and as this era developed, the idea of an elevated bishop eventually resulted in having a pope. About 400 years after Jesus established his church, Matthew 16, verse 18, there was the first pope. The pope, the first one, was a fellow by the name of Leo. And the Bible, of course, does not mention a pope. In the Bible, when we look at the leadership, it is local leadership. In the Bible, we read about leadership by males, men, 1 Timothy chapter 3, Titus 1. Qualification for these men or these males is also found in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. And these male leaders are described by six different terms. They are known as bishops. They are described as elders, pastors, presbyters, overseers, and shepherds. God's plan is for these leaders to work or serve in every congregation. In the past, though, and even now, we find that there are some people who claim to be servants of God. They claim to be true servants of God, just as the Pope, Leo, and others have claimed to be true servants of God, and the special bishops, those elevated men. But in the eyes of God, they were not true servants. They were servants of God in name only, because they were doing things the Bible does not sanction, recognize, or authorize. Man's willingness to try to serve God in his way and on his own terms is not a new problem. It's a problem. It's an age-old problem. It's been going on for a long, long time. Not only has the problem existed during the Christian era for about 2,000 years, the Bible tells us that this problem was in existence prior to Christianity. And one of the places the Bible demonstrates this fact is in the book of Malachi. You may have already turned in your Bibles to the book of Malachi. If you've looked at today's outline, we're going to spend virtually all of our time in this book. We're kind of going to have a study in Malachi to talk about servants of God. I choose Malachi because this book has a lot of information about people who thought they were serving God, some of whom were priests. But God, as you look, as you dig into the book of Malachi, God says you're wrong. You might be a servant of mine in name, but God said, I do not recognize you in this capacity. Now, if you found the book of Malachi, and again, it's not hard to find. It's just prior to the book of Matthew. It's the final book in the Old Testament. Let's begin with the sixth verse in the first chapter. Malachi 1 verse 6 tells us a little something about what these priests of God were doing. Then the text says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is mine honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Saith Jehovah of hosts unto you, O priests, that despise my name. Now in the first part of this verse, we find a very straightforward point. God said a son is to honor his dad. A son is to honor his father. Well, that makes sense. We understand that. And then God went on to say the servant, he is to honor his master. Well, this is also something that we can understand. God used this information to say that his servants should have honored him. Malachi, though, makes it clear here and throughout this book that the priests of God, they were not true priests of God. They were not true servants. Rather than be a servant of God, the Bible tells us that they showed contempt for God. Their service was really, really bad. Now, saying to a priest of God, you're not a true servant, telling the servants that they were not doing the things that were right, that's a very serious charge. Knowing how man thinks, knowing how man reacts, God anticipated that his priests would try to deny this charge. So verse 6 tells us that as the priests heard this information, God knew that they were going to say, well, how have we done that, God? How can you say that we're a bad servant? How can you say that we're a poor servant? We just don't understand. Well, as we look at verse 7, we find not only did God anticipate this reaction, this response, but he also replied to it. He says, here's the answer. You offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say the table of Jehovah is contemptible. God said the people who were coming and offering sacrifices, the priests, the servants of God, God said, you're contemptible. You disgust me. You're offering the wrong things. You're offering things in the wrong way. And then in Malachi chapter 1 verse 8, we find some additional material. And when ye offer, here it is, when ye offer the blind for sacrifice, that is, they were offering blind animals, it is no evil. That is, in the minds of the people, they thought that they could go out and get something like a dead or a blind lamb and offer it up to God. And when you offer the lame and the sick, the people were thinking that's okay. There's no evil in that. Present it now, God says, unto the governor. Will he be pleased with thee? Or will he accept thy person, saith Jehovah of hosts? These priests, they were offering sacrifices to God. But God said, when you bring your sacrifice to me, it is a blemished, it is an imperfect, it is a flawed sacrifice. God said, things are so bad, you're going out and you're getting the blind animals. No farmer would want that blind lamb. No farmer would want that blind creature, but this is what you're bringing to me. And not only are some of the animals blind, God said, you're going out and you're getting some of the lame animals. You're getting the sick. You're getting the crippled. And these are the sacrifices. God says, the animals that nobody else wants. The junk, you're bringing me the scraps. You as the priest of God are bringing me the leftovers, and God says, I'm not pleased. There's an old joke about donating furniture to a local congregation. Maybe you've had this thought, I hope not. But when you have that sofa that's so worn out, Goodwill doesn't want it, some people have thought, let's take it over to the church building and give it to them. Well, if you've ever known of somebody who's done that, or maybe if that thought has ever crossed your mind, that's kind of what was taking place here in the book of Malachi. These Old Testament priests had the idea that they could offer up to God anything they wanted. Good, bad, indifferent, didn't matter. And because God was so good and so gracious and so loving, God was going to accept it. Whatever scraps, whatever rejects, whatever leftovers they had, let's throw it God's way. And he's going to be pleased. People were giving their worst instead of their best. And God said at the end of verse 8, would the governor, would the ruler accept this kind of stuff? Well, the implied answer is no. Had we been one of these priests, God's condemnation might have left us just about speechless. But God wasn't through. In verse 10 of Malachi chapter 1, the Bible says God continued to hammer his point home. Oh, that there were one. God says, I wish there was just one priest among you that would shut the doors, that ye might not kindle fire on mine altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, saith Jehovah of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. The people who were supposedly servants of God, Malachi 1 tells us that they were more of an irritant to God than a true servant. The behavior of these priests were so bad, God says, I wish you would just shut the doors. Stop offering the sacrifices because they're so offensive. Imagine in our day and time a preacher standing up on an occasion such as this and saying, from now on, we're going to lock the building doors. Our worship is so disgusting to God, it is so sinful in God's sight that we're just canceling Sunday. Well, that's pretty much what we have here in Malachi chapter 1, God says, I'm just through with you. Your worship is so far off, it is so disgusting, it is so awful, you are not a true servant of God. And yet, in today's world, as we look at our society, we have many people, some of whom are part of the Lord's church, who think that they can essentially offer to God anything and in any way they want. Or they can come together and they can offer a few scraps for God. If we want to be a true servant of God, we need to make sure that we do things in the right way. But that's not really, as we look at our country, how America wants to live. When we look at our society and religion, by and large, we have a culture where people think that they want to control God. They want to decide what he gets. And as long as we can have a God that lets us decide what we give him, America is going to be great and our religion is going to be great. But this final book in the Old Testament says in the most forceful way, the God of the Bible does not permit this. He does not let us worship as many think they are permitted to worship. If we want to be a true servant of God, heaven says, follow my will. God has revealed it. We're obligated to follow it. Now, in our time, this thought, this idea is absolutely objectionable to a lot of people. In fact, some would say it's outrageous. As far as their idea of God and how we can worship him, some would say, if you think that we have to do it in his way and no other way, that's harsh, that's unloving, that's ungodly. And some would even think that it borders on blasphemy. Some would even go so far as to say, according to you, God can't be pleased. Well, that's not right. In the book of Malachi, the first chapter, verse 11, we have information which tells us that God can be pleased. He has his rules. He has his ways. But we can please him if we're willing to follow his ways. He says in that 11th verse, for from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. God says there are going to be some people who are willing to worship me in the right way. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name. and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the Gentiles, says Jehovah of hosts. God says it's not impossible. You can please me. You can serve me. But the priests, as we look at them, verse 12, it tells us, it reminds us that it's also possible to come to God as a servant of him, quote unquote, and not please him. The priests thought that they could defile the worship that they were obligated to render, and God wouldn't care. Another detail about these men is found in the first part of verse 13. Ye say also, behold, what a weariness it is. Now think about that. Here are the fellows who are supposed to be the leaders of worship, and they talk about God and his way, and they say, what a weariness it is. And ye have snuffed at it. A paraphrase says they turned up their noses to God's commands. These priests, they looked at God's ways and they said, it's going to tire us, it's going to bore us, it's going to wear us down. And there is just no way, so let's go out and let's do things according to our way. Let's go out and do things as we want, and God will accept it. God says no. If you're not willing to do things according to my will, if you're going to try to get away with offering the leftovers to me, God says, I see, I know exactly what you're doing, and do not expect it to work. When we look at the God of the Bible, we are dealing with someone who deserves the best of our time, the best of our talents, the best of our strength, the best of our money, and the best of everything else. In the Bible, the scriptures tell us that we need to give him the very best that we have. Malachi chapter 1 verse 14 says that he's the king. He is the great king and thus worth all that we have. Now the servants in Malachi chapter 1, God doesn't stop with them as we turn into chapter 2. In the second chapter of Malachi, we have some additional information about these fellows plus warnings. These so-called servants of God, they were at this stage in life receiving some good things. Malachi 2:2 says that they had some blessings. But God said, because of how you're behaving, I'm going to take your blessings and I'm going to curse them. The words curse your blessings are actually found in this passage. And then I'm not going to read it and I'm not going to explain it in a public setting. If you need some help, see me privately. But there's no tactful way to describe what's said in Malachi 2 verse 3. But let me just say publicly that if you were to study and consider to reflect on what's said there, it's not a very pretty picture. God, as he says to his people, you, if you want to be my servant, you have one of two choices. You can do things my way, and I'm going to accept your worship, Malachi chapter 1 verse 11. I'm going to be with you, I'm going to help you, and this is a great choice. Option number 2. If you reject that first option, if you do not want to be my servant, if you do not want to come to me and serve me on my terms, God says there is the broad way. There is this second path, and it is that wide open way. If you choose this path, it is that path that leads to destruction. Now that first way, God's way, the narrow way, is not always very popular with the majority. The ideal life for many in our day and time in this country is that let's have religion. Let's feel like we are a servant of God. But at the same time, with that religion, with that faith, let's also keep one foot in the world. Let's have a Savior for when we need him and when we want him. But at the same time, let's also make sure that we are able to play in the area of sin. And then, of course, if we can have both, this is the American dream. Sin and Savior, let's have both in our life. Well, this is not a new idea. This idea existed long before America came along. This idea was in the minds of these priests. These fellows, they wanted the fruits of sin. And they wanted God. And with those two things, they thought that they had a pretty good life. Some of the sins these fellows were involved with are found in Malachi chapter 2 and Malachi chapter 3. Some of the sins in Malachi 2 are found in verses 14 through 16, verses I'm also going to read. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because Jehovah hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, though she is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. Verse 15. And did he not make one, although he had the residue of the Spirit? And wherefore one? He sought a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. And then in 16, for I hate putting away, that's divorce. For I hate putting away, saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, and him that covereth his garment with violence, saith Jehovah of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. There were men who were claiming to be servants of God. And the text tells us they were dealing treacherously with someone. They were dealing treacherously. They were dealing badly. They were treating their wives wrongfully. Verse 16 comes right out prior to the New Testament and tells us that divorce is a bad thing. It's contrary to God's will. And there also, as we look at verses 14 through 16, seems to be a pretty strong indication of violence against women. I do not know exactly what that violence involved. There may have been some priests that were physically abusive towards their wives. Maybe some of the other Hebrews were not treating their wives in a good way. Part of the problem also, verse 11, as we look back a little bit in this chapter, Malachi said that the fellows were also marrying foreign women. So there were problems with marriages. There was problems with divorce. There was problems in some areas with violence. God's servants thought that they could flout God's law for marriage, that they didn't have to treat their wives in a good way. And God once again came along and said, that's not right. You can't get away with that. You can't call yourself a servant of God and then go out there and live in the depths of sin and expect me to accept your worship. It's just not going to worship. Yet today some think, well, I have God's grace. I'm a Christian. I've been baptized. My name is in the church membership directory. God says it doesn't count. It doesn't count unless we're willing trying to be one of his true servants. God's servants are not interested in seeing how far that grace will stretch. There are people sometimes who say, well, will God let me do this? Will God let me get this far to the cliff? That's the wrong question to ask. Rather than get as far as close to the edge as we can without falling off, we want to make sure that we stay away from that edge as far as we can. That's the right attitude. That's the proper mindset for one who's trying to be a servant of God. And yet, as we look at these people, as we look at our day and time, sin is a tempting thing. And sometimes people find it more attractive than service to God. Marriage and divorce was one problem, certainly, but this was not the only issue. As we look into the next chapter, Malachi chapter 3, we find something else. Imagine someone going into a bank and robbing it. This is what I'm reminded of in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? God says, well, the implied answer to that question is no, and yet God said, yet you rob me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And then God said, in tithes and in offerings. As I mentioned, this verse reminds me of someone going into a bank and robbing it. God says, have you robbed me? Imagine a man who says, I am a servant of God. And then as he makes that statement in the bank, I'm a Christian, I'm a servant of God, and then here's my gun, it's a stick up. Well, we can't imagine those two things. They don't go together. There's a conflict because a man says, if I'm a Christian, he's not going to rob a bank. He's not going to rob another person. If a man is a true servant of God, he will be involved with righteousness instead of wickedness. A four-year-old can understand that point. And yet God said to these fellows who profess to be his servants, you robbed me. Now they, from what I can tell, were not robbing other people. I don't know that there's any indication that they were robbing from the temple. But these fellows, they, as they lived their lives, they were failing to honor God in an appropriate way. And today we can honor God in the right way, or we can fail to honor him in the right way and still rob him. Faithful servants of God know that he is worth everything that we have. We may not always honor God in the way that we should. Each one is going to fall short at various times in life. But there are people like these priests. They fail to honor him on a regular basis, time and time again. In this situation, if you look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says the whole nation was failing to honor God. Now, when we think about people failing to honor God, we might think about a handful, a small number, maybe several, but not usually in terms of a full nation. If we're not trying to be a faithful servant of God, God knows. Heaven also knows, though, that if we're not in that category, that we can make things right. Sticking with this same chapter, but seeing what we find now in Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Then the text says, then they that fear Jehovah, these people did want to be a true servant. Then they that feared Jehovah spake one with another, and Jehovah hearkened and heard. And a book of remembrance was written before him. Who was the book for? For the righteous servants, for the people who wanted to do what was right. The book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Jehovah and thought upon his name. 17 says, and they shall be mine, saith Jehovah of hosts, even mine own possession in the day that I make. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son and serveth him. This morning, each one who is here is on a spiritual journey. As we look at where we are on that spiritual path, thinking about what we find in the book of Malachi, a servant of God, where are we? How does God classify us this morning? Are we someone who's become a servant of God? Well, someone might say, I don't know. We can answer that question by Jesus' words in John chapter 3. The Lord said a man has to be born anew. A person has to be born again. There has to be that spirit, Jesus said, for the new birth. That is, we've been taught. We've been taught that we need to believe. We've been taught that Christ is the Son of God. We've been taught about repentance. The Spirit has taught us about confession. And then Jesus says, with that spirit, with that teaching, a person must also be born of water. And that's simply a reference to baptism. If we've been taught, if we've believed, repented, confessed, if we've been baptized into Christ, We did at some point in the past become a servant of God. But today as we look at our life, are we someone who has continued on that path of good service to God? Or are we someone who maybe like the priests in the book of Malachi have gotten off the right path? That's an important question. Because one day we're going to stand before God and we're going to be judged. If we became a servant of God in this life, when we stand before Him, we will either be classified as a faithful servant or unfaithful servant. There will not be a third category. It's this or this. And if we did not become a Christian, then there's no way God will be able to say to us, you became a Christian. We failed to follow the process that He gave in His Word. But for those that do, the day is coming when we will either be counted as a false servant, an unrighteous servant, like the people in Malachi, or righteous servant. How great it will be for the saved to one day hear those words, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Why? Because you were a righteous, you were a faithful servant. Not always perfect. No one's going to achieve that. But we can be a faithful servant. That's the status, that's the standard that God calls us to. And that's, if not our current status, if that's not the standard that we're striving for, when will we make it right? We hope that choice will be now. And you'll do that as we stand and encourage you with the selected song.